Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
And my uncle, who's in real estate, said, well, do you have anything in writing, even an email that says he was going to pay you? And I went through my emails and found out I had everything but an email saying he was going to pay me. And so the only way you can sue somebody in the U.S. on a deal like that is if you're willing to pay the legal expenses yourself, which was not something I could do in my position.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today I'm joined once again by Maxwell Ivey, the blind blogger himself. Now, get this. Max is a great blogger. He's the blind blogger, after all. He created a carnival ride sales website, which is super cool. He connects people through podcasts and through other media. He's written a book, does some podcasting stuff himself, and of course, blogging. But Max also sold a carousel for $250,000 and didn't get a penny of it. That's coming up after the break.
Dad on Money is the financial podcast for regular people. I'm Stephen Williams, and I host Dad on Money with a rotating cast of my kids.
I'm Jerrica. I am a college graduate, a young stay-at-home mom, and a planner.
I'm Alex. I'm an entrepreneur, I guess, and the one who's roped everyone in the family into podcasting.
I'm Alandra, and I just started my career as an educational assistant, and I'm a little bit of a workaholic.
And I'm Bryce. I'm a student in the middle of a lot of career exploration.
Dad on Money focuses on the simple habits and actions you can take to live a financially sustainable life and take care of that which matters most to you. Listen to Dad on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Maxwell Ivey, ready to talk about another one of your broken bulbs?
Sure, Alex. After all, sharing these stories is what I do.
Perfect. And everybody is delighted by that. I think it gives people a lot of insight into what they can do. So let's talk about a failed carousel sale. What happened? How did it fail? And how did you deal with it? How did you work through that?
Right. Okay. Well, this was, I think, about 5 years ago. And a gentleman from Vermont contacted me because his family was having some financial problems, which should have been a tip-off to begin with. And they wanted to sell this carousel that they had bought at an auction from an amusement park that had gone out of business 10 years earlier. It was a huge double-decker carousel like what you see in some of the malls. It was probably $1 million-plus investment when it was brand new. They had bought it at an auction, disassembled it, and stored it in their barns out at their family farm, I think it was, and they wanted to sell it, and somehow they found me. We got on the phone and had a call. I told them what I thought I could do as far as selling the carousel. I told them we should probably try to get $250,000 for it, but we would price it at $350,000, and because people in the amusement industry don't generally feel like they've bought something unless they get to haggle a little first. That's just the way of the business. And I asked him this. I told him that, you know, I would get 10% of what we sold. He said that was fine. I said, send me the pictures of the ride along with a email of description and an agreement saying that you'll pay me 10% of the sale. Well, I got a little bit excited over having this amazing piece of equipment on my website, because before it, the stuff people wanted to list with me was generally older, been in storage a long time, but not stored well. You know, run down, heavy. A lot of the equipment on my website was the kind of stuff that would take 4, 5, 6 guys hours to set up and take down. In fact, my brother used to joke that I should just call my website the Isle of Misfit Rides. and some days he would even go farther than that. He'd say, you know, Max, you should just play the theme song from Sanford and Son when your website loads. This was a gorgeous piece of equipment, even though, you know, we only had the pictures of it in storage, but the pictures they sent us of it in these containers, it was in great shape. So I put it on my website. I shared it to Facebook and LinkedIn. And 30 minutes later, I'm going to say that again, 30 minutes later, we had a showman from Australia committing to come look at it And if it was as advertised, he was going to buy it. So 2 weeks later, the Australian gets through the visa process and his passport. He looks at it. He falls in love with it. They make a deal to buy it. 2 months later, it's in Australia being set up on its new location. The money gets transferred, but I never get paid. So I start calling the guy and emailing the guy and texting the guy. Well, look, man, you owe me $25,000. Where is my money? And he never would respond to me. Occasionally, I would catch him in his office and he would hang up on me. So, you know, eventually I started realizing I'm not going to get this money. And my uncle, who's in real estate, said, well, do you have anything in writing, even an email that says he was going to pay you? And I went through my emails and found out I had everything but an email saying he was going to pay me. And so the only way you can sue somebody in the U.S. on a deal like that is if you're willing to pay the legal expenses yourself, which was not something I could do in my position. The sad thing is I was already starting to spend the money. You know, the family had started looking at cars. So it was like, it was a very big blow to find out that he wasn't going to pay me and that I had to accept that I wasn't going to get that money or be able to invest it in my business or replace our used pickup truck or buy new clothes or any of the things you dream of when you see big money coming down the road to you. It's a very hard one to deal with. It took probably a couple weeks before I completely got over it. And the truth of the matter is that if it wasn't for the good things that sale caused for my business, I don't know that I would have gotten over it. But thankfully, after years of being in the carnival business and doing other things where, you know, I've had a lot of setbacks, a lot of failures, I like to tell people I'm good at getting back up because I've spent a lot of time on my ass looking up at the sky. You know, this was a bad hit, but what I realized was that people were really visiting my website because of that sale. Because even though I didn't get paid, I still wrote a blog post about it. And I still shared the sale on social media because, hey, I sold $250,000 ride in 30 minutes. You know, that's something to be proud of. And so I start seeing more and more people visit my website. Several people reached out to me and wanted to hire me to try to locate equipment that was similar to the one I just sold or something equally hard to find. I won a recognition from the Mutual of Omaha AHA Now initiative, where they recognized me for me and my business and the importance of this sale for the future of my business, and how it was one of those moments where, man, I sold $250,000 ride in 30 minutes, a ride that takes three trailers just to move from here to there. It's going to take six guys 2 days to set it up and get it ready to operation. That's important. You know, that was big. And so as I started to realize that and started to think, okay, I didn't get paid, but I had a great experience. I proved that my model works. I proved that my social media community has the power that I tell potential clients it has. Now, where do we go from here? And the first thing we went from there was going online and getting one of those simple contracts that you fill out that you make somebody sign before you even accept their photos now.
Wow. That is amazing. The things that you learn from that, the way that you changed how you do things now because of that, it just seems like such a perfect storm of experiences to help you improve and help you change. At the end of every episode, I ask about what's going on now, what's working now. And so why don't you tell us what you're doing and where people can find you?
You know, you've mentioned a couple of times today that you really appreciate the way I'm sharing my story. So the thing I love doing is helping other people realize the power of their story and help them share it by connecting them with podcast hosts and radio hosts and online magazine publishers and people that can give them an opportunity to share their story. And so over at theblindblogger.net, I offer a course where I teach people everything they need to know to be a great on-air guest, coach them through the process so that they can start sharing their story with confidence. That's at theblindblogger.net. Because one thing I have learned over the years, starting with my own story, is don't ever wait until you think your story is good enough to start sharing it. So hopefully they will head over to theblindblogger.net or whatsyourexcuseshow.com and connect with me. And if I can do something to serve them, to help them move closer to their big goal, I will. If I can't, I'll try to introduce them to somebody who can. And one thing I like to remind people of is you don't have to want to hire me or book me or buy something from me to reach out to me. I have learned so much from the people who've come into my life that I don't turn down new friends or new acquaintances just because there's no check attached. And I hope people sincerely believe that and will head over to theblindblogger.net.
That is fantastic. We're going to have links for all of those in the show notes so that people can check you out and hopefully make a new friend with you too. I know I have. So thank you once again for joining me today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. I love how Max took this as a success and great learning experience. Even though the deal sucked financially, it was a great proof of concept for his website. A different perspective may sometimes offer us some successes. Special thank you to Maxwell Ivey, the blind blogger himself, for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his work in the show notes. You can leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Fine. You can check out other Mecco Radio shows at meccoradio.com. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use for the podcast is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.